Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. We give God praise on this evening. Hallelujah. That's the highest praise we can give unto our God, and we say hallelujah on tonight. Glory to his name, whatever it is you need from him, whatever it is you're walking through, whatever it is you are facing, praise God anyway, praise God anyhow, because God is able to do anything but fail. Ha ha! Anything but fail, that's our God. There's a song we played during the offering on Sunday that my daughter introduced me to, and the song just kept saying over and over, God can do anything but fail. And that song got my blood stirred up, and I ran around like a madman because I believe what those words say, that our God, through his son Jesus Christ, and with the power of the Holy Spirit, can perform anything that we need to happen in our lives. Amen. We're going to have our Bible study tonight, our Word Wednesday. We're going to pray and go before the Lord. Ask his blessings upon our time together tonight in the name of Jesus. Let's go to God and ask him to be with us tonight. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for today. We thank you, Lord, that we are well, and we thank you even for those who are looking this way for prayer. We understand the day is significant of what happened in our nation, especially 18 years ago, 9/11 over in New York. There are still so many suffering. This date will always be a memory in this nation of something horrific that has happened to our soil, the United States of America. And we still mourn and grieve with those who are mourning and grieving because your word tells us to. So, Lord, even those who are struggling with this date and this anniversary of 9/11/2019, what happened in 2000, glory be to God, in one. We thank you that you would be with them. We thank you for all the celebrations, all the anniversaries, all the commemorations on today for this day. And we pray for those families who are still going through. And even those who have experienced sickness as a result through cancer and other kind of diseases that came as a result of what happened, even with the rescue teams and things of that nature. We pray for everybody impacted in a negative way. Although it seemed a long time ago, for some it was not that long ago. So we pray for them. And we pray for everyone struggling with sickness or suffering to any degree. We pray your mercy and your grace upon them. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Yeah, I've been hearing reports on the radio. I served on jury duty today. And in one room they had CNN on, in another room they had ESPN on, and then in the third room, they had Home and Garden. Those were the three choices during jury duty, which I served for 2 days. I returned back to work on tomorrow, and I was not picked for a case. So I just thank God even for that opportunity. Let's look at the word tonight. Tonight, I want to, my wife preached from this topic on Sunday, and I actually want to continue talking about this tonight. Take the limits off of God. Taking the limits off of God. And some scriptures that I want to share tonight, I've been guilty of doing some of these things. And if we, whether we're conscious or not conscious of it, we want to not limit God. Amen. I just want to get everything God has for me. Hallelujah. I know there's an amen somewhere. I want God to give me everything he had in mind for Anthony. And I don't want to stop him. I don't want to block him. And if I can get his help to help me in those areas that may limit him from getting to me what he wants to get to me, I want to do that. So some of these scriptures I'm going to go to tonight shows us how we can avoid. It may not be you. This may not be you. But in the Bible says this is for our example. This is for our knowledge. They said there are patterns, amen. It's a shadow of things to come. So when we see these stories, when we see the reaction of people, when we see what they did to limit God in their day, we should try to avoid those scenarios. Now, I'm going to start out with this one, and this is one very well known. when Jesus goes back home in Mark chapter number 6, he's doing all these great things, and we're going to look at some of the things that he did. But he's performing things because Jesus knew and God knew when he sent his son, John 3:16, God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten son, that whomever shall believe in him shall never perish but shall have eternal life. Now, they had this strategy, they had this agenda in mind even before he was born of his mother, Mary, a virgin. Even before that, they knew the mindset of mankind in that day, especially the Jewish mindset or Judaism, amen, coming from Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the lines of Moses and David, all the prophets of the Old Testament. They had developed a certain mindset, even coming out of Egypt in slavery. There was a certain way of thinking from the Torah and the Old Testament law, and you couldn't fault them because they were obedient to the laws of God. But then Jesus comes on the scene, according to John, the first chapter, full of grace and full of truth. And that's what you and I have the opportunity to live under. You and I have the opportunity to take advantage of the dispensation of grace in which we live under today, in today's world. So we are under grace. There was a time in Leviticus, they had all these laws, all these rules, over 600 rules and regulations of the chosen of Israel that they had to live and abide by. The Ten Commandments we're all familiar with. So there was a certain way of thinking. And Jesus knew that one way he could break and take the limits off, that's what Pastor talked about on Sunday, how we can take the limits off, and we know that even through our own understanding of the word, being transformed by the renewing of our minds, glory be to God, that's one way we can not limit God by changing the way that we think. Our apostle wrote a book years ago, Change the Way You Think. And sometimes we got to do that. We got to change the way that we think. He wrote a wonderful book about changing the way that you think. And in that book, he pointed out how God get miracles into our life. And he wrote a second book after that, Heaven Coming to Earth. And that's one reason we can get unlimited blessings in our life when we change the way that we think. Because Jesus knew that for people to believe in him, he had to show them what he could do. Oh, glory be to God. In other words, for you to, even today, for us to believe in Jesus and the power of the Holy Ghost and the power that works in us, he is not one that's just talking the talk like people do. Come on. Jesus, God, the Holy Spirit, they back up the promises that they give to you and I. Amen. And Jesus in his day, the 12 disciples, for example, we're going to read Mark chapter 6, verse 1, and you'll see they're still with Jesus. But even them to be at this point, to still be with Jesus, guess what? He had to begin showing them who he was, what he was, and what he can do. Not just what he was saying. And they go to a wedding back in John chapter number 2. They go to a wedding in Canaan with his mother Mary. And the first miracle takes place of him turning water into wine. Glory be to his name. The Bible says after he turned the water into the wine, his disciples put their faith in him. Amen. Amen. And you know, when me and my wife got married, we were hesitant. We were so scarred and wounded from our first marriages. We were a little stage fright. We were a little apprehensive. We were a little suspect and skeptical. But we were going to church for a while at that season, and we began to walk by faith and not by sight. And God began to build up faith in the both of us. So as we approach the institution of marriage and considering marriage again, we knew we had enough Jesus in us. And we knew that we had to put our trust in him, not each other, not each other. Even at that stage, I can recall it, that we had some conversations with one another about, you know, I never thought I'd get married again, and those kind of conversations. And I for one, can tell you, I never thought after my first marriage that I would get married again. But I didn't want to put limits on God because I wanted marriage deep down. And 23 years later, 23 years later, I'm with the woman of my dreams. I'm with the woman that I love, the mother of my children. It's been a great ride with her, and we have a lot of journey left ahead. Amen. So I thank God for the wife and the woman that he has given me today. I thank God for our marriage. It hasn't all been perfect. It hasn't all been dreamy. But even through all of that, I thank God we're with each other because it's been wonderful. Amen? And that's what faith produces. That's what my wife said on Sunday. You got to see the end of a thing. And we're together till death do us part. We are together. Divorce is not an option. It's one thing we teach married couples and during marriage counseling or pre-marriage counseling, that divorce should not be one of your options. Other options are on the table, but divorce should not be one of them. So we're going to take the limits off of God. Let's start reading in Mark chapter number 6. Mark chapter number 6. Listen to what the Bible says. And he went out from thence or there. And we're going to talk about where he came from. And he went out from thence or there and came into his own country. Don't miss that. He came into his own country now. And his disciples were with him and they followed him. And when the Sabbath day was come, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many hearing him were astonished. Look at this language Mark is using. They were astonished, saying, from whence has this man these things? Look at the questions that they're asking. From whence or where did this man get these things from? And what wisdom? They're astonished. Listen to their questions. They're astonished. And what wisdom is this which is given unto him? They knew this had to come from somewhere other than himself. They're looking at Jesus, the man. That even such mighty works, now they went on to the miracles that they saw him do, that even such mighty works are wrought or brought forth by his hands. Then listen to the, they're astonished, meaning they're amazed at what he is doing. So Pastor said on Sunday that sometimes frustration and the lack of results limits God in our lives. They right here don't have this issue. They're seeing the miracles. They are witnessing his teaching that they never heard before. They never heard this kind of teaching and this level of wisdom from any person ever. So they are amazed at what's coming out of his mouth in the synagogue on this Sabbath. Let's keep reading verse number 3. Is not this the carpenter? Here come the limits. The son of Mary, they're limiting themselves. The brother of James and Joseph and Judah and Simon, they're putting more limits on themselves. And are not his sisters here with us? And watch this, how they limited themselves from getting God's best. And they were offended at him. Now, Pastor Anthony, why were they offended at him? Because he's talking to scribes. He's talking to Pharisees. He's talking to religious rulers. And they begin to look at him as lower than themselves. They had to put him back in his place as a carpenter's son, trying to reduce Jesus back to a mere man, trying to say he was just a normal person. After witnessing the supernatural, they allowed a certain mindset to come back in, and that began to limit God. And let's see how Jesus now pinpoints their limitation and shows you and I, even today, how we can sometimes make the mistake and limit God if we don't put Jesus on the throne and keep him there, if we don't keep him in heavenly places, if we sometimes allow other people's opinions about our Jesus. It can happen. You'd be around unbelievers long enough and not, you know, not come to church, not come to Bible study, not come to prayer, because we need something to offset the mindset of this world. We need something more than the way our buddies and our friends and our family think, especially if he wants us to have a kingdom mindset. Amen, somebody. So we got to sometimes watch even who we're allowing to speak into our lives. And I know we have people on the line that knows some of the things that I'm teaching you tonight, that we got to guard our space. Look at verse number 4. But Jesus said unto them, a prophet is not without honor. That's the word. That's the word, honor. But in his own country, watch the three categories. His own country, he don't have honor. Among his own kin or his own relatives, there's sometimes a lack of honor. And in his own house, even where he lived, or those folk that grew up with him, the people that grew up with him. Sometimes when people are familiar with you and you have an anointing on your life, you have a special gift on your life, there's something different about you that they can't quite put their finger on, you know. And, you know, you're a pastor, you're a prophet, you're a preacher, a teacher, or you're just a Christian just trying to live better and trying to do better. But even you're not striving for a pulpit, you're not striving to be famous, you're just trying to change for the better. And people see you starting to move in those areas to change. Wait a minute, you ain't smoking cigarettes as much. Or you went from a pack a day to one a day. You don't drink as much, or you don't curse as much. I see you starting to go to the fitness center. I see you going to the church more often. People begin to see a difference in your life. They begin to see a different action you're taking. They're just starting to ponder a different behavior. Because you ain't talking about people like you used to talk about people. Come on. You're not gossiping as much, and you're trying to be there for your family. You're trying to slow it down. I'll never forget, you know, as God was pulling me out of them clubs and pulling me out of the bars and pulling me away from the party scene. Oh, don't think. Don't think the party wasn't wondering where Aunt was. Amen. You know, when I did go back to those places when I was gradually getting into the things of God, I used to hear conversations, yo, man, where you been? You know, what happened to you? I ain't seen you in a while. And they gradually saw me starting to leave those places that I frequented a lot. And when people start to see you, you may even get some people that take it a step further. Oh, you trying to get new on us? You trying to think you're better than us? Oh, now you think you've arrived? And they want to throw sarcasm at you. When you're trying to change and live for Jesus, you're just trying to change and be a better husband, a better father, a better wife, a better woman, a better mother. And they want to throw darts at you. They want to throw words at you that want to put negativity on you. You got to stand your ground and not limit God, because he who has begun a good work in you. Amen. God is the one convicting your heart to reduce the curse words. God is the one reducing your heart to break that soul tie or that soul mate that ain't no good for you. It is God the one who is convicting you to be faithful to that one woman for the rest of your life. God is the one telling you to not use so many negative words for that man. You know he's trying to be a better man. He's trying to be a better father. Listen, I'm a man. We make so many mistakes. We put our foot in our mouths. We just sometimes do some dumb stuff. I'm a man, and I know how men think, and I know how men make mistakes, and I know some men look like they ain't going to never get it together. So I'm a man, and I understand men. I ain't excusing them, but I just know men because I'm a man. And sometimes when you're throwing so many words at him, you're throwing so many, you know, applaud those things that he's doing right. Applaud, build his ego, stroke his ego. Applaud when he gets it right. Want to go to church, want to read the word. And he want to get together and pray with you at night. Like, can we pray before we both go to work today? When you see stuff like that starting to happen, you know, I'm changing. You see him at the table trying to read that Bible. Applaud those efforts. Encourage him. My wife used to tell me, you know, you study your words a lot, and that's good. You you know, you need a new Bible, and that's a you know, that's good that you love the Word of God. I used to hear that years ago, and now that I love teaching the Word of God, I have a great revelation and understanding of the Word of God that He has given me. He has illuminated my mind to some of the Scriptures. It is God that opened my thinking and my understanding that I can try to put the Word of God together, connecting the Old and New Testament and making Scripture fit that we can be, understand the relevancy of it to our lives. God gave me that, and I thank God for that gift that He has given me. But we got to understand when people are trying to do things and right by God, we don't want to limit God in their lives, and we sure don't want to limit God in our lives. And that's what they're doing here. Let's read these last two verses and see what happens. Verse 5 and 6. Watch the limitation because of what happened in the previous verses. And he could there do no mighty works. He was limited. He could not do mighty works except that he laid his hands, watch this, upon a few sick people. A few, that's not even 100, that's not 1,000. The Bible says, upon a few sick folk, and he healed them. So his power did not diminish, but his opportunity was taken away. And he, watch, oh glory, listen to the wording Jesus used in verse 6. And he marveled because of their unbelief. And he went round about the villages teaching. He went to his own country. When you think about country, you think about culture. You think about a way of doing things. In the United States of America, our culture is different from the Bahamas. We're different from Jamaica. We're different from Spain and Switzerland. We're different from how they do things in Europe. Our culture is different in the United States of America. We drive on a certain side of the street here. We say Pledge of Allegiance. We put our hand over our heart. In a court of law today, I was in two courtrooms, and we stood up, and I had to raise my right hand, and I had to be sworn in by the judge, and they said, all rise, and they swore us into Judge so-and-so courtroom. And that's the way we do things in America. That's our culture. And as he went back to his own country or his own culture, there was a way that they did things. And he said because of that, sometimes they limit God because they're so used to doing certain things a certain way. And then he said the relatives, your cousins, your aunties, your uncles, your little niece and nephews, they see you as one of them. And sometimes that's why it's hard to minister to family. Amen. Because they see you. You're one of us. You got our blood in you. Even Jesus said, even in your own house, he was using the word dishonor because those that live with you, your brothers, your sisters, your mom, your dad, your spouse, sometimes because they know you in intimate details about you, they want to keep you in the natural realm, and sometimes it limits what you can do, amen, in their lives. Pastor and I have had the opportunity, you know, we pray for the sick, and sometimes when we visit people in the hospital, we try. I just visited somebody in the hospital recently, and we try to pray. My brother was in the hospital, and we went up there, and we prayed for the people in the emergency room. You know, we didn't make a scene in the spectacle, but we was like, you know, Lord, heal everybody in this ER. And my brother heard me. The nurses heard us. The doctors heard us. And we went to see Caroline, my daughter's friend, and we prayed for everybody in the hospital. It's just something that we do. And sometimes, you know, when it's a stranger or people who don't know us, sometimes they receive those prayers sometimes because they don't know us and they're ready to receive prayer. But I thank God for our church. We oftentimes, I think we pray after every service. If not, 99.9% of the times, Pastor in there giving me an amen. Listen, every church is different. You know, this is just the nature of new creation. We believe in the power of prayer. And oftentimes after we preach, we pray. That's just the way we do things at new creation. You know, sometimes people got to rush out or run out, and we understand that. But if God is leading me or my wife to pray after we minister, we pray after the service.
And sometimes people come up to the altar and we pray. Even those who don't come up to the altar for prayer, they hear the prayer because we normally pray over the microphone where you can hear what we're saying out loud. Because we believe in the power of prayer, not just on Tuesday nights. Yes, we pray on Tuesdays, but even in our local church on Sunday, we pray a lot because we believe in the power of prayer. Amen. Go back to Mark chapter number 5. Because as I was saying, we limit God. They limited God with their unbelief. They put a limit on God because the spirit of familiarity came in. They thought they knew who Jesus was. They were too familiar with him. And the spirit of familiarity comes in. And sometimes that's a hindrance when you know, sometimes think you know your pastor or you want to, you know, be sometimes too familiar. Sometimes we can't let that happen. Because we want to stay in what God has given us to do. Amen. Pastor and I thank God for our personality, that we love everybody. But we thank God for also the anointing on our lives that allow us to minister to the degree that we minister. And we take the things of God seriously. Amen. It's not a joke to us, the things of God. And I love what Prophet Jamal was saying last night, how we believe in holiness, we believe in righteousness, believing and holding God with a spirit of excellence in our church. And he was so on point with that prophetic word into our lives. Amen. We do want to serve God at New Creation with a spirit of excellence. And we are striving for a church without spot or wrinkle. Mark chapter 5, this is when I said, and he came here thence from, let me see how I read. And he went out from there or thence and came into the own country. Now, where did he come from? I wanted us to see that tonight, where he came from, and kind of how that should have been a continuation. What should have happened in his own country, with his own relatives, in his own house, should have been a continuation of what's going on right here, because he already did this stuff. These are the miracles that he just left that he wanted to perform there. Mark chapter 5, verse number 34. And he said unto her, daughter, your faith has made you whole. Go in peace and be whole of your plague. While he yet spoke, there came one from the ruler's synagogue's house, and he said, thy daughter is dead. Why troubleth the master any further? As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he said unto the ruler of the synagogue, be not afraid, only believe. And he suffered no man to follow him except Peter, James, and John. And he come to the house of the ruler of the synagogue and the tutment, and they greatly wailed, and they were crying, and they greatly wept. And when he was come in, he said, why you make this ado and weep? The damsel is not dead, but she is asleep. But they laughed at him, and they put him to scorn. But when he had put them all out, listen to what Jesus is doing, he put them all out of the room, and he took the father and the mother of the daughter or the damsel and them, and then they were in there with him, and he entered into the one where the damsel was lying, and he took the damsel by the hand, and he said to her, Talitha cumi, which is being interpreted, damsel, I say unto you, arise. And straightway, or that word means immediately, the damsel arose and walked. For she was of the age of 12. She was a 12-year-old girl. And they were astonished. That's that word again. These same people were astonished with the great astonishment. And he charged them straightly, immediately, that no man should know it, and commanded that something should be given her to eat. Jesus just raised the dead. He raised a 12-year-old girl from death. Jesus healed a woman with an issue of blood. She was bleeding uncontrollably for 12 years. Years. This is the power that he came into Mark chapter 6 with, but they limited him. And God is saying to us tonight, we have to stay in faith. Pastor said it. This is the God that created the world. We got to put our minds, and we all are guilty. We got to remember the God that we serve. She said this on Sunday, this is the God that told the stars to go there, and the stars say, went there. She said, the sun and the moon, y'all go there, and God, as he began creation, they went and they stayed in their place. Created the ocean, and that's why we went to Coney Island the other day, and it's amazing how the water came, but so far, and went back out. It didn't drown us. It didn't overtake us. Me, my daughter, and my wife had so much fun because sometimes the water came up to our neck. But it did not overwhelm us because God said, long time ago, water, you can come but so far. And the water can go but so far. Glory be to God. That's the God that she said we are serving. Oh, I feel God right there. Give him a praise. Let's give that God a praise. Hallelujah. Lord, we thank you for the world that you created. We thank you that this world was framed with your word. We thank you that you said, let there be, and there was. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. You are Elohim, God. That means you are creator, God. Glory be to God. You are Yeshua, God, Yahweh, God. You are El Shaddai, the all-sufficient, big-breasted one. Glory be to his name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. You are Jehovah Jireh. You are Jehovah God, our provider. We give you praise on tonight. We open up our mouths and say hallelujah. We love you, God, and we give your name praise, even for allowing us to live into your creation. The Bible said you breathe into man's nostrils, and man became a living creation in the name of Jesus. The word says as you created man, you formed him from the dust of the earth. Hallelujah. And then you breathed into man, and man became a living creation. You said you formed Adam, and you put Adam to sleep because you said it's not good for man to be alone. And you put him to sleep, and you took one of his ribs, and you made him a helpmeet called Eve. Glory be to God. And you brought the woman to the man. Hallelujah. And that was the first marriage. Glory be to God. Man and woman, you made them male and female. And what God has put together, let no man put asunder. Are you hearing word tonight? Are you hearing Bible tonight? Are you hearing creation tonight? And that's the same God that wants to bless you. Oh, hallelujah. That's the same God that can do the impossible in your life. Glory be to God. That is the same God that see your sickness, that see your suffering, that see your lack, that understand your weaknesses. That is the same God that know your vulnerable areas. That is the same God that know how that mindset that you have developed got into you. That is the same God that know the way that you think, that know the way that you operate, that know your behavior. That is the same God that numbered every hair on your head. That is the same God that numbered your days that you're going to be on this earth. That's the God that don't want to put limits on you, and he don't want you to put limits on him. Oh, I'm going to say that one more time. That's not even in my notes. That's the same God that do not want to put limits on you, and he don't want you to put limits on him. Amen. God wants us to serve him, and God wants us to love him. God wants us to honor him. I'm so glad I wrote a Facebook post pertaining to marriage, and that was the post. That's what it was about, honoring your marriage. And we got to honor one another. You know, sometimes when we look at the White House, the greatest office in this nation, and sometimes when we look at our police and our authorities, our officials, sometimes when we look at the corruption that's in our day, where some people who get in our political office, they just downright, you got to say what it is. They lie to us. They're going to do a certain thing, and then they get that power. They get that seat, and they don't do anything that they promised us that they would do. And you see this over and over and over again. And sometimes people don't believe in a And, you know, they don't believe any longer in the political process because people have been so disappointed. And we, especially people of color, we still can't go there and say, I'm not going to vote because it's not going to work. It's not going to make any difference. No, people like Dr. Martin Luther King and Rosa Parks and Thurgood Marshall and people like, glory be to God, those who have gone before us, John F. Kennedy and Robert Kennedy and so many people who have been assassinated, people have died for us to vote. People have lost their lives for us to vote and be not discriminated against. People have sacrificed. So we, especially people of color, we have to vote. We have to exercise our political rights in this nation. Even if you don't think it's going to make a difference, you got to put your hat in the pot and say, listen, I'm going to vote for my mayor. I'm going to vote for the governor. I'm going to vote for the councilman and the local officials. I'm going to vote for the president of the United States of America. I'm going to exercise my right to vote because I understand the sacrifice that people have done. So to give me this right and this privilege of voting, there was a time in this country, people of God, speaking to every woman, but it was not the woman's liberation movement that we have today. Women did not have certain rights. Even in this country, not in biblical times, there was a certain way that women were treated. They didn't have certain rights. But fast forward to the United States of America, even in this country, there was a certain season where women didn't have the freedoms that they have even today. Amen. So we got to understand when we've been given these rights and privileges, we must take advantage of them. To God be the glory. Let's look at another scripture because Mary, go to Luke chapter number 1. Luke chapter number 1, taking the limits off of God. Let's see what Mary did. I love this story. I love this account of how Jesus was born. You know, I just love this. Luke chapter number 1. I love this story of the way the way Jesus and John was born. John's parents, Zacharias and Elizabeth, were barren, but they were serving God. And God comes to Zacharias and says, your prayers have been answered. I don't know who that's for right there, but sometimes because it's been a long time, we don't think our prayers are being heard by heaven. They're being heard by God. And in Kairos, in due season, God is going to manifest that miracle in your life. Amen, somebody. God is going to do it, church. People of God, please hear me tonight. God is going to do that thing in due season. There's certain things that God has shown me and my wife, and she preached from Abraham, Hebrews chapter number 11. The Bible says Sarah's womb was dead. Abraham, a sperm in his seed was dead. It wasn't supposed to produce, but they believed God. And God gave them a miracle child named Isaac. The womb could not do that. The natural womb and Abraham's natural ability could not do it. And Pastor said that thing on Sunday. It might be impossible for us because Zacharias and Elizabeth were barren. They were old. And then God gave them a miracle baby named John. Just like he gave Sarah and Abraham the miracle baby Isaac. And now a virgin. This prophecy was through the prophet Isaiah way back. This was given back to Isaiah. It was given back in Isaiah, the prophet Isaiah. This was given back in the prophet Isaiah. Back when he said, a virgin shall be with child. Amen? And he said, the virgin shall be with child. The virgin shall be with child. And it's so wonderful how years later we see right here in Luke chapter number 1. Let's read it. How Isaiah prophesied what's going on right here. What's going to happen. They said, the virgin will be with child. This is amazing. Look at Luke chapter number 1, starting at verse number 35. Hallelujah. Luke chapter number 1, verse number 35. And the angel answered, back up to verse number 34, I'm sorry. Verse number 34, Luke 1, 34. Then said Mary unto the angel, how shall this be,
seeing I know not a man, she was stating that she was a virgin. And the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon you, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow you. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of you shall be called the Son of God. And behold, your cousin Elizabeth, she has also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. This is where we take the limits off of God, verse number 37. I hope this makes you shout like it's about to make me shout. Verse number 37, let's read it together. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. Say that again. I know we threw the technology, but read it with me again, verse number 37. I want you to say it out loud, because when you say it out loud, it means something personal to you. Decree and declare a thing, and it shall be established. Let's read it out loud again, verse number 37. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. Possible. Glory be to his name. Hallelujah. Are you hearing God tonight? Oh, that makes me happy. That makes me excited right there. That with God, all things are possible. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I don't know what you're facing tonight. I don't know what's impossible for you tonight. I don't know that you don't see no way out of that situation. Maybe it's an impossible situation, but my Bible just reminded you and I tonight, glory be to his name, that nothing is impossible for God. The word said, cast your cares upon him because he cares for you. The word says, now unto him who is able to do exceeding and abundantly above all that we could ask, think, or imagine from the power that works in us. Glory be to his name. The word says, no good thing will he withhold from them who love him. In the name of Jesus, the word says, all things are possible for us who believe. I just want to hammer that point home that I just made. All things are possible for those who believe. Last time when I taught, we looked at the man with the demonic son, and he said, help my unbelief, because my son had been in this predicament a long time. And that man said, help my unbelief, because Jesus told him all things are possible for those who believe. Mary is a virgin. Mary's about to be married to Joseph. And look at Mary's response. And this is the response that you and I should have, even when it looks impossible. Look at verse number 38, the next verse. This should be our reaction. Sometimes we look at something and we're in something and it looks like possible. Look at Mary's reaction, even as the angel Gabriel bore her a message. The word Gabriel or angel means messenger. Gabriel means messenger. You know, Micah was a fighting, warring angel, but Gabriel, he came to Zechariah. He came to Elizabeth. He came to Mary. He announced the birth of Jesus Christ. Gabriel was a messenger angel. He brought good news, and that's what Gabriel's role was, as an angel of God. But look at Mary's response in verse number 38. And Mary said, behold, thy handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to your word. And the angel departed from her. Just say that out loud too. Be it unto me according to your word. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
That's why we preach so much word. That's why, glory be to God, I thank God for those of us who read the word. If you're not reading your word, please read your Bible. Read the word of God. This is the living letter of God. We are living epistles. This is not any old book. Hallelujah. This is the living word of God. This Bible is alive. That's why when you read it, if you're depressed or you're sad or you're down and you read this Bible, something in you should quicken, something in you should be resurrected, something in you should be revived, because it's a living word and this is a spiritual word. It said the letter killeth, but the spirit giveth life. And the Bible is spiritual. This is the Logos word. And from this Logos word, meaning the written word, we get what is called revelation. And as we get revelation, that means understanding from the word of God, it stirs up something on the inside of us. Amen? And I thank God for the word. I thank God for the Bible. I thank God. My wife said it's called, let me look at my Bible because she gives me this acronym, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth. Now, ask me how I remember that. I don't know. But she says that sometimes, because when we did Toastmasters, we were in acronyms a lot. We would make our 3 or 4 or 5 points, and we would have an acronym that we would break down. We would always use metaphors and analogies and examples. That's what we learned in the public speaking arena. To hammer your point home or to bring your point home, you would have sometimes an acronym and break down your 4 points from the word that you're teaching from. Basic instruction before leaving earth. I love that what's the word I just used? Metaphor or acronym, that's the word. When you break down a word, you break down the letters of the word and you make points from that word. Acronym is what it's called. Thank you, darling. It's called an acronym. Hallelujah. To God be the glory. And I'm going to move on, but I need to read a little more right here in First Luke, because I get excited when I read this story. I'm going to read a little more. We're going to move on, though. And Mary, verse number 39, and Mary arose in those days, and she went into the hill country with haste, or she hurried, because she needed to see her cousin pregnant. She knew Elizabeth was barren, into the city of Judah. And she entered into the house of Zacharias, and she saluted or said hello to Elizabeth. She was excited. Mary's now coming into Elizabeth's house. And look at verse number 41. Glory be to his name. I'm about to shout again. And it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the baby leaped in her womb. The baby leaped in Elizabeth's womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. And she spoke out with a loud voice and said, Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. Somebody said, Pastor Anthony, I heard that before. Where did I hear that? I'm a Christian, but I heard that before. That's Catholicism. That's one of the beliefs when they pray to Mother Mary, the angel. When they pray to the mother of Jesus with the rosary beads, blessed art thou among women, blessed is the fruit of your womb. That's part of their prayer. And that's probably why you heard it, because people still in the Catholic Church, they pray this prayer often. And that's where they got that from, verse number 42. But let's back up. Let's back up to the salutation, because even as I was studying this lesson and I didn't want to limit God, something was leaping in my womb. Oh, glory be to his name. I know I'm a man, and I know I can't carry a natural baby, but I can carry a spiritual baby. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Woo! Glory to his name. I know I'm a man, and every man on the line listening to me, know we can't carry a natural baby. And I thank God for my 4 children and my 4 grandchildren, but I can carry a spiritual baby, and I'm going to give birth to that thing. Hallelujah. It says something in us should be leaping around right now. Glory be to God, because we are like-minded people. We are spiritual people. And there should be something in your womb leaping right now that you're not putting limits on God any longer. Amen? To God be the glory. So I thank God that in these scriptures, we're taking the limits off of God. Hallelujah. We're taking the limits off of God in the name of Jesus. I'm not going to go to these scriptures because I want to stay on the up. I want to stay on the up note tonight. I want to stay upbeat tonight. But I do want you, if you're taking notes, to write these down. We want to look at other ways how people limited God. And sometimes, you know, the word says people perish for lack of knowledge. So it is Bible study. It is Word Wednesday. I wrote these down in my notes, and I did research them. And I want you to write these down. These three are other ways that we can limit God and limit our blessings. It's the story in 2 Samuel chapter 12, right? 2 Samuel chapter 12, verse 8. 2 Samuel chapter 12, I'm sorry, verse 7. It's the story of David, who had everything from God, and how he limited God with his sin that he did with Bathsheba. But he repented, he got restored. God did not kill him. But David was, from that point on, limited as what God did for him and through his life. His sin stopped God, and it stopped the fountain of God and the flow of God in David's life because of a great sin that David committed. So sin can also stop God and limit God in our lives. Amen. Sometimes we just got to put these out there because we have to deal with this thing called sin. That's one stopper. And then we see in Malachi, as a matter of fact, I'm going to turn to that one. And the third one, we're going to look at Malachi because he's telling me to go there. But strength, the Bible says, serve the Lord with all your mind, your heart, and your strength. 2 Kings chapter 13, starting around verse number 14. 2 Kings 13, matter of fact, start at verse number 1. It's Elisha. Remember, Elijah poured into Elisha. But Elisha in that chapter is about to die. He's sick. And he has the king, Joash. I guess I'm pronouncing it right. He gets him and he says, open a window and shoot an arrow out. And he says in there, shoot an arrow, and that's going to give you victory over Syria. Then he says, take more arrows out and strike the ground. And the king only struck the ground three times. I'm just paraphrasing because I want you to read it on your own so it'll encourage you. When it talks about strength, how we got to serve God with all our strength. And he struck the ground only three times. And he said, if you'd hit the ground five or six times, if you would have doubled that, you would have destroyed your enemy and God would have consumed them for you. So how we serve God, the zeal and the fire, the enthusiasm and the excitement in which we serve God with, is also a determining factor how God pours out into our life. That's why I love Prophet Pastor Jamal and so many that come to the prayer line. They always have a certain energy, a certain fire, a certain posture in how they serve God. They keep a certain excitement and a certain level of energy on how they serve God. Now, that may not be your personality, and don't come out of yourself trying to do something you're not, but still love God with all your heart, your mind, your soul, your strength. But he's telling me to go to this third one, and then we're going to get to our last scripture. Malachi chapter number 3, another way people sometimes limit God. Malachi chapter number 3, we normally, you know, not normally, but a lot of pastors, preachers have gone here to raise tithes and offerings or to, you know, even justify the tithes and offerings. And we just want to see, because the character of God is all throughout the New Testament. And again, my topic tonight is take the limits off of God. And I told you at the outset, I just wanted to show you in scriptures how in the Old Testament and New Testament, how people limited God. And we're going to see an example how they limited God even back in this day. They knew that they were supposed to bring God a certain offering, a certain amount, a certain animal, certain fruits and vegetables and agricultural things. They were supposed to do it a certain way, do it to a certain degree. And that's why, you know, Pastor preached is also the life of Cain and Abel, how Abel brought God a more acceptable offering, and we want to be in the line of Abel. We want to bring God our best. Amen, somebody. We want to give God our best at all times, and we want to strive to get God a spirit of excellence. And the Bible says Cain did not do that, and he had opportunity to do that, and he did not do that. But Abel gave God an acceptable offering, and God received it. But look at Malachi chapter 3, and yes, let's start at verse number 8. Let's start at verse number 8. Malachi chapter 3, verse 8, and it says this, "Will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me, but you say, wherein have we robbed you? In tithes and in offerings. You are cursed with a curse. You have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring you all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, and he shall not destroy the fruit of your ground. Neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts." God is saying through that scripture, he was saying it to the children of Israel in the Old Testament, and he's saying it to even you and I today. You know, as we honor God with our money, we honor God with our increase. We are a church that believe in the tithes, a 10% of all of your increase, 10% of all of your earnings. Bring God a tenth and live off of the 90. The church that we came out taught us the 10-10-80 rule. Give God the tenth off the top, save 10% of your earnings, and live off of 80%. That's a wonderful rule of thumb. For those of you who have a 401k at your job, and or if you invest, you have stocks and bonds and mutual funds, or you put in all kinds of investments, even if you have a regular bank account earning that 3% interest, try to save that 10%. And put something away and save something for you and yourself and your family. And we were taught that as we came up in the things of God. But he says here, you're limiting me and you're put under a curse because you're robbing me with tithes and offerings. But here is how God wanted to bless them. He said, I'm going to open up the windows of heaven. I'm going to do this. Open up the windows of heaven and pour you out blessings that you're not going to have room enough to receive. That sounds like unlimited, uncommon, unusual blessings. And not only that, he says, I will deal with the devil, the one that's trying to limit you, the one that restricts you, the one that wants to keep you bound, because the Bible says the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. It is the devil. It's never God doing bad things in our lives. It's always the devil. Sickness is from the devil. Poverty is from the devil. Amen. Sin is from the devil. That's not of God. And those are the things God said, I will rebuke the devourer. Why did he call the devil the devourer? Remember back in Peter, he said the devil roars around as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour, destroy. And God says when we bring the tithe, when we bring him that tenth, he does two things. He opens the window of heaven, gives us a blessing that we can't receive. That sounds unlimited to me. And then he deals with the one trying to keep you and I in poverty, trying to keep you and I poor. He deals with the devil trying to destroy you and I. So when we do that, take care of the seed. The seed comes in all kinds of form, but now I'm talking about the seed, which is called money. When we honor God with our money, God does something special in our lives. Amen. Look at Luke. This is our final scripture tonight. Do I have time to go there? I don't think I had time to go there. I'm going to pray us out. And I just love the fact. I also want you to look at Ezekiel 37. Look at Ezekiel 37, where he speaks into these valley of dry bones. Because God told me to tell somebody, dust your dream off. Dust your dream off and pick it back up and develop determination to go back after your destiny. He told me to speak that into somebody's life tonight. Dust that dream back off. As my wife spoke to me on Sunday about taking the limits off of God, I tell you, something was stirred back up in my spirit. I lied to you not. That's why I wanted to continue talking about that tonight, because I want to take the limits off of him. And if I've been doing things in my own personal life or in a spirit of unbelief and doubt and second-guessing myself and second-guessing God, I want those things to be removed. She said, God has not given us the spirit of fear. And fear is another thing, false evidence appearing real. Fear is another thing that limits and restricts God, because God ain't give us that spirit. Amen? So developing that determination for our destiny, God is telling somebody to dust that dream off in Ezekiel 37. And finally, as I begin to pray us out, Luke chapter number 5, where the disciples and Peter caught a great catch of fish, and they had such an unlimited amount of fish they couldn't count. And it's only because they exercised their faith and they did what Jesus told them to do. Amen. Father, I thank you tonight, and I give your name praise for every caller. Now, God, I thank you that the limits are taken off, the restrictions are taken off. Help us to continue to walk by faith and not by sight. God, we need you to stay in faith. We need you to stay focused. God, we need you sometimes just to get to church. We're in a day where on Sunday, sometimes the most warfare is going forth on Sundays. So, God, we need you even to get to our places of worship. We know it's a challenging day. We know that the enemy's turning up the heat. We know that the warfare that we're seeing in today's world is unmatched in anything we've ever witnessed. But, God, we just heard tonight that all things are possible for you and with you. So that one who wants to come to church, that one who wants to come to prayer and Bible study, God, open a door for them that no man can shut, in Jesus' name. I love you, each and every one of you. We will be in church on Sunday, 1230, 1482 Maple Avenue. Those of you who are in this area, I will see you on Sunday. We're going to have a high time in the Lord. Those of you who are not in this New Jersey, New York, Connecticut, Pennsylvania area, thank you. If you can sow a seed into the ministry, your money, your seed, your offering is going into good soil, and we are doing great things with it by keeping the doors of new creation open for those who are coming to the local church. We thank God. We had visitors on Sunday, and it was such a blessing. We had two people. One of our members, Sister Cece, was coming out, and she met two women walking by, and they came to the church on her witness of the goodness of God in the church. And she evangelized and witnessed, and those people came to church. So bring somebody to church with you. Stay excited about your church. Tell somebody about new creation, what God is doing there, and put somebody in your car, invite them to church. Say, I'm going to pick you up for service on Sunday, and bring them with you. Because, again, one of our members invited two women to church, and they came to church, and we thank God that as we show the love of Jesus, it does have effect on other lives. Amen. He who wins souls is wise. Good night, everyone. We love you. I love you. Good night. God bless.